So as I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, we're celebrating the highest truth of our faith today, the Trinity. And that's something that comes to us from the Second Vatican Council. The Council spoke of a hierarchy of truths, and the highest of them is the Trinity. The second highest, which wouldn't surprise us, would be that the second person of the Trinity became flesh among us, Jesus Christ. And it might seem to be off in some remote location away from us, but see, from the time of the coming of Christ, the Trinity now is on earth as Holy Communion. And this is what we believe the Church is Holy Communion. The root and foundation of the Church is the Trinity. This is one of the reasons why the Church is a saving reality. It saves us by giving us a share and a participation in the Holy Communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't do eternity. I haven't got it to give to you because I'm not eternal. There's no pharmaceutical pill, potion, medicine I can take to ingest that would give me eternity. I'm not eternal. But this is something we can enter into. And by our baptism, we are initiated into the eternity of this Holy Communion at the heart of the Church. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This communion, this unity, is the reason the gates of hell will not prevail against the Church. Devil has no power to divide the Trinity. And we are invited to share in that. Now, I know the Church, we might think of it as the buildings, we might think of the Church as being rather soiled. We've read about some of the troubling times our Church has had with clergy sex abuse and all the bad things they keep saddling us with down through the centuries. And I like to look at the Church as a dirty bar of soap. The dirt's on the outer part of the soap, but even a dirty bar of soap retains its agency to cleanse, just like the Church does. And the dirt doesn't belong to the bar of soap. It doesn't belong to the bar of soap at all. And the dirt doesn't belong to the Church either. Because at the heart of the Church is this burning furnace of Holy Communion and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by baptism, we are initiated into that Holy Communion. And this Eucharist makes the Church. It makes Holy Communion. We're reinserted into Holy Communion by this sacred food. And so it's easy enough for us to think of Catholicism as a bunch of rules. I just got to keep the rules. And what does it matter if I go to Mass this Sunday? I'm just tired of the rules. It doesn't really matter if I keep the rules. And see, that's a really external view of what the Catholic Church is, because at her heart, she's a burning, just fire of divine love, of this Holy Communion. And we are called to share in that Holy Communion. Now, what is the devil about doing? He wants to pick us off. So I fall out of Holy Communion, and I'm out in the darkness. I mean, St. John tells us, God is light. In him there is no darkness. If I fall into the darkness of sin, I fall out of Holy Communion. which is this holy communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not in God anymore, who's pure light, and I've fallen out of Holy Communion. You might say I've gotten picked off. And we have a way to come back, the sacrament of reconciliation. It reconciles us once again. It reinserts us back into Holy Communion in the church. A unity that not even the gates of hell will prevail against. And in this Holy Communion, there's no snatching out of our Father's hand. We're safe. We're safe. We're in the light. I was trying to think of another image for this. I remember back in the late 70s when I entered seminary, I had to go into Pittsburgh, which was about 3 hours away. And I went into Pittsburgh, and it just so happened at that time in the late 70s, they still had their steel mills. They've since gotten rid of their steel mills. And there's all this pollution from these steel mills. I don't know if you've ever been in a steel mill town, but they generate a lot of pollution, and it usually goes up into the upper atmosphere. But this day, they had an inversion. And in the middle of the day, it's all this fog. And there's soot in the air, and there's fog tastes like sulfur. It's really gross. Now, that's pretty toxic. If you breathe that in enough, that can give you lung cancer if you're not careful. And so they were always warning you, stay inside during the inversion and all this sort of thing. Well, you know what being in the Trinity and Holy Communion is like? It's like being in this toxic environment and you put oxygen on. And you're breathing good air. You're breathing good air. That's what it's like to be in Holy Communion, which is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're breathing good, wholesome, sane, loving air when you're in God. You're initiated into that through baptism. You're reinserted into it through this Eucharist, which makes Holy Communion. And you leave this church and go throughout your life, raising your children, going to work, being in traffic, in Holy Communion. You're breathing in good, wholesome air when you're in God. How do you think Maximilian Kolbe sustained love in a hellhole like Auschwitz? What, did he do it under his own power? Because he willed himself to? I don't think so. There were others that were committing suicide by throwing themselves up against the fence. How did he do it? He was in the church. He was deeply drinking of the Holy Communion at the heart of the church. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's no snatching out of my Father's hands in this unity that we are. We're meant to drink deeply of this unity. It preserves our soul. And there's a real good example. God has actually raised up a good example of this in our time. Saint Therese of Lisieux. I'm sure some of you, maybe you've read her life, her autobiography. It made it big hit in the 20th century. Here's a woman at 24 years old, finally discovered her vocation. Finally, I mean, she also reached perfection and God brought her home right away. I'm still working at it at 67. So here she is, she discovers, and you read about this in her autobiography. And when she finally found her vocation, which she had this desire to be all these, like she wanted to be a biblical scholar, she wanted to be a martyr, she wanted to be a teacher, she wanted to even be a priest, and she's going, what is this? I want to be all these things. And she finally discovered vocation. She said, at the heart of the church, I will be love. She nailed it. She found the furnace of loving communion at the core of the church, which is the fueling all the vocations in the church. Even the blood of the martyrs can be accounted for by this love at the heart of the church. But that's not all. Saint Therese, as you will also know, at the end of her life, went through a very dark period. She was suffering from tuberculosis, number one, and spitting up all this blood, suffering in the body, enough to make maybe some people start to question whether there's a God. And guess what? She was tempted to atheism. And it wasn't only an atheism, it was also nihilistic atheism. As she came before God in prayer, all she saw in front of her was black nothingness. And she kept reaching out for help and kept getting, no one's there. It was like that foggy day and you're holding the hand of your beloved. You look over, you can't see anyone there because it's so foggy. Her faith, however, kept telling her, Jesus has my hand, even if I don't see him. And at the same time Therese was experiencing that, guess what? A contemporary of hers was also going through the exact same experience, Friedrich Nietzsche. Tempted to the same atheism, the same nihilism. He's the one, he's the philosopher that gave us, God is dead. And his solution to that darkness without faith led him to reassert the ego, reassert his will, the ubermensch, become the superman, and start imposing your will on others. That's how you become free. The will to power that eventually led, when totally lived, to Adolf Hitler. Nietzsche's philosophy gave us Adolf Hitler. And Nietzsche one day, this is a very brilliant man, by the way. I read his books when I was in college. Maybe you did too. Nietzsche, one day, sitting at the piano, very gifted man. They found him sitting at his piano, and they found that he had written on the music score, the Christ, and then the pen trailed off, and there was Nietzsche laying on his face, literally insane. He went insane. Same experience that Therese went through. Therese negotiated it through faith, maintained sanity. There's strength through faith in Holy Communion. There's good air. We're not poisoned by the toxicity of the things that can actually make our spirit go dark, despair, begin to give up. I don't want to get up out of bed today. I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. What does it matter anyway? I'm tired of all this rigmarole. Haven't we all been there at one time or another? And yet we get up again, don't we? Proverbs 6, the just man falls 7 times, the unjust only once. Because when the unjust falls, he stays down. He doesn't get up again. We need to keep getting up. And it's living in Holy Communion that helps us do that, because that's good air. We breathe in the Holy Spirit. We breathe in that goodness. We breathe in that love. It's unconditional. Every human love you will ever know will fail you, because we're weak. But not this love. This love will never fail you. And the men and women who stay faithful to it are the types that They get up in the morning and they make a difference in people's lives because they care, when maybe they were tempted to give up too. No, we don't give up. We get up again. We're breathing good air. And today, as you come to this Eucharist, the Eucharist makes the church, which is Holy Communion, the body of Christ. Amen, here it comes. You're being reinserted into the eternal Trinity, which is Holy Communion of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you're being saved. And you go out that door in God after this Eucharist. And you're shouting out, or God is anyway, on your behalf, to all the powers of darkness that want to strip you away from God. Back off! This one's mine. I died for him. Stay away. That's protection. And we need that today, brothers and sisters. We need protection today. And we need sanity. There are some crazy ideas going around out there. People are going insane today. They're breathing toxic air without a recourse. We're breathing good air. Let's take it in. Breathe deep while you're here, brothers and sisters, and stay sane in Jesus Christ.